A new report out today from the National Governors Association says that while spending will rise slightly for the current fiscal year, states will face renewed pressures in the next fiscal year as federal stimulus money runs out and rainy day funds dry up. So far, 23 states are projecting a total of more than $40 billion in deficits for next year. So what's a governor to do, especially if you've pledged not to raise taxes? Washington Post national political reporter Dan Balz has taken a long look. He joins us now. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Robin.
And there's a hint here to the answer to the question, what's a governor to do? If you're a public employee, look out.
I would say that's probably good advice. All of these governors, Republican or Democrat, are going to face some very, very difficult choices. I mean, they have been through several really tough years economically and have cut their budgets in a variety of ways, but they've still got to do more. And having done what they've done, they're looking around and there's, you know, as they say, there's nothing easy left. But one of the areas that when you talk to governors, almost all of them, and including many Democrats, are looking at is public employee compensation, which is to say not just the amount that government workers are paid, but the various benefits, health benefits and retirement benefits. And that is an area that I think almost every governor, and particularly a lot of the new Republican governors that I've talked to recently, are looking at as an area that they want to take on. They recognize that it's going to be a big battle, but they feel it's one they have to do.
Well, President Obama came out this week in support of a two-year freeze on federal government salaries, essentially adopting a Republican proposal. But when you say the governors are looking at this, there are many more Republican governors than before. You write about a GOP takeover of the states. Just remind us some of the numbers here.
Well, the Republicans picked up five new governorships, or they have a net of five. But one of the things that happened was that they picked up some very important and economically sensitive states. They won Pennsylvania. They won Ohio. They won Michigan. They won Wisconsin. And these are all states that have been squeezed economically. So they have a very difficult task ahead, A, to try to restore their own state economies, and B, to do it in a way that keeps their own fiscal house in order. But along with the gubernatorial elections, I think the underreported story of the 2010 elections is the gains that Republicans made in state legislatures. Mm-hmm. So not only do you now have governors in a lot of states where you didn't have them, but you also have sizable Republican majorities. They now control the legislatures in these in a lot of the states that I just mentioned, which means that if you're a Republican governor, you are going to be able probably to try to work your will in ways that your colleagues in Washington will not be able to. I mean, we have divided government in Washington. There is not at this point divided government in Columbus, Ohio, or Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or Lansing, Michigan. And those governors are going to be able to say, okay, here is what Republican governance looks like. Here is what conservative solutions to these economic problems look like, and then they will try to make them work.
Well, and as you point out, they, you know, in a very short amount of time with an electorate with a very short fuse at this point. But let's see what you found out some of these governors were going to do. You spoke with three new Republican governors in three Midwestern states that share some really tough fiscal problems. Rick Snyder in Michigan, John Kasich in Ohio, and Scott Walker in Wisconsin. Let's start with Rick Snyder, the former Gateway executive, now heading up Michigan. He's called public employee compensation the next big national issue, right up there with health care. So what is he going to do?
Well, he's going to A, attack the problem, but I think from what we know about Rick Snyder, he's going to attack it in as non-confrontational a way as he can do.
He's something of a moderate.
He is something of a moderate. He is not what you would call a Tea Party Republican. He's a business person. But one of the first things he did after he was elected is he named the outgoing Democratic Speaker of the House as the state treasurer. I mean, that was clearly a signal that he wanted to work in a bipartisan fashion when he finally gets to Lansing and is sworn in. And when I talked to him about it, he was both determined to take on the issue of public employee compensation, but quite sensitive to the fact that he's dealing with human beings and people with families and people who are probably in a state like Michigan economically stressed already. And so he said one of the things he said is, you know, that it's clearly not financially affordable for us to continue on the path we're we've been on, but we have to do it in a sensible and smart way.
Well, and it, as we said, he came from business, and he told you that you have to compare public employee compensation to the private sector.
Yes, and I think all of the governors have begun to look at it in that way. When I talked to Governor Christie about this some months ago, and he's been in some ways the hardest charging Republican governor on this and a number of other fiscal issues. I mean, one of the things he said is I look at what has happened to private sector union members in my state who have had to renegotiate contracts, who are having to pay more for their health care than they did, who are perhaps having smaller pensions than they once were promised. And he said, we've done nothing like that on the state level. He took some modest steps last year on this, but he's determined to take some bigger steps going forward.
Well, it's funny you mention New Jersey Republican Governor Christie, because many Republican governors point to him, as you say. They admire his blunt style. But we're reading a November report on the news site Stateline that's, you know, says, well, there might be some smoke and mirrors in the way he's balancing his budget. We're up against a break in about a minute or so. But your thoughts on that? I mean, may he also be a cautionary tale?
Well, he is a cautionary tale, but I think they all are. I mean, I think that there's probably very few governors who have not had to do some one-time fixes or some smoke and mirrors to try to get through some very difficult times. But in talking to Governor Christie, I think he's both aware of what he was able to do and painfully aware of what he wasn't able to do. And that's why I think when you talk to him, he's determined to take this on in a more significant way.
That's Dan Valls, national political reporter for The Washington Post. He's been writing about how three incoming Republican governors are promising to balance their state's budgets by cutting public employee compensation, something that Dan says actually governors across the country, Democrats and Republicans, are talking about. And Dan, we just hinted at something that a lot of governors are looking at, and that's pension plans. And let's take a look at Scott Walker. He's incoming governor in Wisconsin. He's got the support of a Republican legislature there. And he spoke to you specifically about these pension plans and how workers in Wisconsin were going to have to pay into them. Tell us more about that.
Well, Scott Walker was the Milwaukee County executive, and when he became the Milwaukee County executive, it was after a scandal in the county government involving compensation and pensions. And he feels that he has already had to deal with this at the local level, and as he looks at what goes on in Madison, he says we're going to have to do it there, Madison obviously being the state capital. And I think this is one of these issues that as you look at it, there are questions about equity. Most people do pay into a retirement plan in some form or another if they're in the private sector. And in some states, Wisconsin apparently being one of them, that many workers pay nothing into the retirement system for themselves, according to Governor-elect Walker. So I think that as he looks at it, part of it, is an equity question that he wants to take on. But he is kind of a Tea Party Republican, and he is a hard charger on this front. And I think he feels that there are both economic gains to be made from this, but also political gains to be made from it.
Well, and then you move on to John Kasich in Ohio, newly elected governor there, former congressman. And he's already declared war on the teachers union because of the ads the union ran against him in the campaign. He says he's expecting an apology from them. But what is his plan?
Well, I'm not sure that he has a plan yet. Whenever I've talked to him about the budget there, he's been totally unwilling to be pinned down about it, saying, you know, I don't have all the facts and figures. He had a very rough go with the teachers unions during the campaign, as you indicated, and he has a grudge against them, and they seem to have a grudge against him. He said to me, I'm going to reach out to the unions in the state, but not the public employee union. So I think that there's a potential real clash coming in Ohio over this, depending on what direction he chooses to go. I mean, the thing we haven't said is that, unlike Washington, all these governors have to balance their budgets. They can't run deficits the way Washington can. And so they're all facing budget shortfalls of one size or another. And public employee compensation is one element of it, but they're going to have to cut in other areas as well, well, or raise taxes. But most of these Republicans have vowed not to do that.
Not to do that. Well, Dan Bolz, just to quickly, what do you think of this thinking overall? I mean, we've all heard stories. You know, there's this story out of California of an entire town of elected officials that, you know, stole money from the town. But, you know, across the country, we're hearing about different pensions. Here in the Massachusetts area, we have a terrible story of a sheriff who actually committed suicide because it was unearthed, that it was revealed that he was going to take advantage of a loophole and collect both his pension and his salary, something that's why he took his own life. And we have a scandal in the probation department. So we hear these extraordinary stories, and everyone says, aha, see, you know, public employees, there's a problem with their compensation. But is it true across the board?
Well, those stories are the, you know, the worst cases and the worst abuses. There obviously are some abuses. I mean, the California case in Bell, California is, you know, it's indefensible, frankly. Mm-hmm. And Republicans and Democrats, including the new governor-elect, Jerry Brown, jumped on it when it came out. I think that I can't recall a time, Robin, when I think public employee unions have been more on the defensive about these issues. I also think that we probably don't understand this issue as well as we ought to or as well as we will. I mean, the questions of comparability of pay are sometimes difficult to sort out. What may look like extraordinary levels of pay or high levels of pay may simply reflect the fact that a part of the workforce is better educated, and when it compares with private sector, it's more akin. But I also think that the pension liabilities that a lot of states are carrying are enormous and perhaps beyond what they can do without some reforms. And so governors are beginning to look at this. This is not going to be a kind of a big bang moment. I think this is going to take a lot of negotiation, some head scratching, some skillful politics to try to work it through. But I think that public employee unions probably are in a weakened position today compared to what they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And that's partly because the states are all so stressed. And we've seen what's happened in the private sector. And the question is, will the public sector have to do the same thing?
Well, we have a comment on our website from John Van Kooken, who says the Republicans have spent the last 30 years systematically attacking private company unions to reduce pay and benefit and send jobs overseas. Now they want to do the same thing to public employee unions. That will be the thinking in one quarter at least.
There's no question about that, and that's why I say I think this is an important political battle that the two parties will be taking on. I've gotten similar email after I wrote the piece about the three Midwestern governors indicating that view that this person suggests, and I know that there is that feeling strongly, not just within the public employee union movement, but among many Democrats and liberals, that this is just another effort on the part of the Republicans to weaken the union movement. You know, if you talk to Governor Rendell, who's the outgoing governor of Pennsylvania and as staunch a Democrat as you can find, he has tried to do some things on the public employee compensation front as well. So there's a pragmatic reason why governors are having to do this. And there may be some ideological approaches that some of the Republican governors take that Democrats won't take. But that's one of the beauties of this system. We are going to get to see how Republicans, as opposed to Democrats, deal with this issue because they're all going to be doing it.
Dan Bolz, national political reporter for The Washington Post. Dan, thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.